Welcome to Merrickville. Talking about what Sydney's talking about. Here's Merrick Watts.
Great to have your company, Sydney. A huge show in the lead up. This is the first Friday of the week. There's two. There's Friday on Friday, and there's Friday today because tomorrow is Australia Day. So,
which is also a Friday.
It's just madness, isn't it?
It's Lawrence. Friday.
Lawrence Mooney with me today. Loz, we're going to be talking about some Australian slang shortly. We're going to also be talking about a guy that the last guy you'd want to be. And I'll have Kurt Fearnley. No, he's not the last guy you'd want to be. He's a terrific bloke. He'll be dropping in later on this afternoon to have a chat as well. And before you say, I know you say, I was going, where's the storms? Well, I left here at about 6:30 last night and I found them on the Anzac Bridge. It was a river. So maybe I won't talk about the weather today. Maybe I'll just shut my pie hole about it. Lots on the show. Don't go anywhere, Sydney. Wicked song, like me, massive in the 90s and still kind of relevant today. Great band, great song. Lawrence Mooney with you this afternoon.
It's a very good call. I was so massive in the 90s too.
Oh, how good was the 90s when we were massive?
Yeah.
Good times.
It was just massive.
Oh, it's making me sad. Loz, yesterday on the show, I want to kick it off because obviously in the lead up to Australia Day tomorrow, yesterday we had a guy called Troy who hit us up on our socials, and you can at Merrickville on Twitter and on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. Troy said that he quoted something that we have not heard said in the longest time. He said to piff a yoni on air. Now, there's some discussion around the office today because some blokes didn't know what it meant, the young blokes. They were like, what's piff mean? And we went, well, that piff means throw.
Piff means throw, and a yoni
is a stone. Piff, you piff a yoni. Liam, like young, never, how old are you?
32.
Yeah, but where are you from, though?
Originally from Adelaide.
There we go. So, you know,
Do you know what electricity is? Have you ever seen a woman?
Oh, put down the picture of your mum. Doesn't count. Good start.
Adelaide.
Okay, let's forget what we were going to do and just put shit on Liam. Sorry.
It feels like Australia Day already, doesn't it, boss?
Okay, we'll give you a 10-metre head start and then we'll just start chasing you with bats.
I mean, I wasn't big in the 90s, but my future's ahead of me, so that's okay.
Not really.
Shush now, why the adults speak?
Anyway, we're having this discussion, Loz, around the office today with the boys about these sayings that you just don't, for whatever reason, you know, we've become so Americanized that we have now kind of introduced language and vernacular from America and substituted it for its great Australian stuff, like piff a yoni, the piff something, and great sayings, great language. I mentioned one earlier that there was my old man used to say to me, oh, you can't box butter. Now, do you know what box butter means? Even like, he's the same.
I'd imagine
box
that
butter.
You're too weak to be in a fight with butter, or you can't pat butter into a box, so you're too weak or stupid. It's a put down.
I knew it was a put down because he used to say to me, "Oh, you can't box butter," and I never got around. He died before I asked him why, which was stupid. I really should have brought it up. Should have been the last thing.
Did he say it on his deathbed? Was it the last thing?
You can't box butter.
Box butter, you pissant. love you too, Dad. No, so I was like, it was a saying. I wasn't too sure what it was. Anyway, having said that, I bashed the bejesus out of a box of Western Star once, butter all over my hands. He was wrong.
Yeah.
Absolutely wrong.
I smashed some margarine too.
Got stuck into it.
I like cut it out, you know, or, you know, give it a break. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And someone's been a real tool.
And what about, like, you know, you got rhyming slang as well, like butcher's hook, have a butcher's hook. The young blokes don't know what that means. I said to Leon and Liam, I said something about, oh, have a butcher's hook. They looked at me like, why would you go to the butcher's? And I went, oh, get back on your bloody Instagram feeds. Look at yourselves. Look at pictures of yourself all day, your Snapchatters. Look at you getting your shirt.
So with Australia Day coming up, we're asking you to give us a crack.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us what you think.
What Aussie slang do you reckon we need to bring back in? I think it's sad when we, particularly when we see the loss of rhyming slang, like classic Aussie rhyming slang. But also other sayings. My old man used to say he wouldn't work in an iron lung. And it's, did you notice that all this, my dad's sayings were all
about laziness and stupidness?
Wouldn't work in an iron lung.
Yeah,
couldn't
well,
box
look
butter.
At me, Dad. I'm working 3 hours a day now.
Whoa, two hours in a stretch.
Ronnie's hit us up on our Facebook page, Mez, that sounds like your dad would have enjoyed this one. Mm. couldn't pull a greasy stick out of a pig's ass.
What? What?
Who put it there in the first place?
Why is it there?
Why did they grease it up?
At what stage do you just go, that's going to hurt? Put some grease on it. Be kind. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That will make it better. Dead horse I love, of course, for sauce. Mm. That's rhyming slang as well.
Bonzi. Don't come the raw prawn, I think invented for the Adventures of Barry McKenzie by Barry Humphreys. Don't come the raw prawn, I love.
Yeah. Yeah. What about up the duff? That's a good one. That was another thing. My old man said, don't get up the duff. And I go, Jesus, Dad, you just... Can you say anything positive? 133353, what Aussie slang words or terms that we love and we cherish, maybe you're still using them, maybe it is your mum or your dad are still using them, we should bring back into vernacular. We should have as part of our daily language, you know. Maybe it's yinong, drongo. Mm. Drongo's a bit, we don't say drongo, do we?
No, it's like drongo's say, pretty good.
Look, I'll just go to Alf Stewart, who's the judge on this, and I'll get back to you in a second. 133353, the phones are lit up, Sydney. Let's do this. Loz, taking calls from people from Sydney about sayings, terms, language in the Aussie vernacular that we don't use enough of anymore.
I want to give you a test, Australia Day test.
Yep.
You finish this expression. I'm so hungry I could eat.
The arsehole out of it. Oh, sorry. Hang on. Is it that?
The crutch out of a low-flying duck.
Right. Arse out of something. Something.
Yeah, the arse out of something.
I can't remember. What about this one? We got one. Let's move on. That just came out just too easy, didn't it?
It did, but
and I forgot
glad
I was on
you
radio.
Didn't finish it. The something hole out of a what, though?
Yeah.
Whose arse were you eating?
Carl, who's in Albury, has set us up on Facebook. He said a great Aussie term that we don't hear enough of anymore is norks.
Yeah.
Norks.
Nice norks.
Yeah. Nice norks. So hang on. Now let's get some clarification on this before we get to calls. How are we spelling that? Is that?
We're spelling it N-A-W-K-S.
That's me. I'm with you on that. I don't think there's an R in
norks,
that.
Norks. Like saw.
Have you, you know when you hear blokes sometimes that more people might mispronounce it and call it norgs? You go,
yeah,
norgs?
That's wrong. Norgs.
You idiot.
I think that's very Adelaide.
All right, let's get to some calls now. We've got Maddie in Greenwich. G'day, mate.
How are you, boys?
Very good indeed. All right, what's a great Aussie saying do you want to hear more of?
There's a classic one of you better get on the dog and bone.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Now, that's one that I grew up with. I also grew up with you're stressing like a bag of cats at a greyhound meet.
Topical.
It is very good. That was Mike Baird, I think, coined that one, Maddie. I like talking about it. My old man used to call it the Odie Cologne.
And I never, the phone. Yeah.
Yeah, Odie Cologne. I never knew what that meant.
I like the abbreviation of it too. You know, you better get on the dogger to the cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
And kisses.
See?
Yeah.
Liam, you're 30, what are you, 30 years of age? You got no idea what we're talking about.
I got completely lost when you said Odie Cologne.
I didn't know what it meant until I was older. Odie Cologne, you know, like on like aftershave and perfume and stuff like that. It's Odie Cologne. But they used to, like, the old boys used to say Odie Cologne for fine.
I just can't imagine you discussing cologne with your dad.
Shut up, Liam. Let's move on. He's dead. Why would you bring that up? You know my father's dead. Jesus.
Yeah, and mine too, Liam. You're really knocking the scabs off a few wounds.
Just a second. All right, let's get to Stephen Oatley. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, g'day. How you going, fellas?
Good, mate. All right, what classic Aussie saying you want to hear more of?
Well, when your footy team's going bad, you always blame the coach, and the old saying was, he couldn't coach a choco bone over a backyard dunny.
Oh, never heard that.
Never heard that?
Nah, very specific. Yeah. And I think that's in reference to the fact that the choco is the turd of the fruit world and it will grow over anything. It's a terrible bloody.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, if it grows over the back dunny, which means it just grows like a weed anywhere, so he can't even coach it to do that, correct?
Correct.
That is a ripper. Can't coach a choco vine over the back, Dunny.
Mate, that's good. That's a good one, Steve. Pay that one. Bring that in. Sure, he just made it up. None of us have ever heard of it, but we'll bring it back. Dave, hello, mate.
G'day, mate. Love your show.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for being a part of it.
Mate, I've got a couple there for you.
Mm.
One is that you couldn't pull the skin off a rice pudding.
I think my man said that to me as well, yep.
Yeah, and the other one is you couldn't fight your way out of a wet paper bag.
My man said that as well. Jesus Christ, what is this?
He really...
Mate, here's a couple more.
Yeah, go.
You heard the term, you know, like referring to a bloke or somebody, you said, oh, You tell them porkies. Yep. Short like pork pies lies.
Yep. I know that, porkies.
Yeah. Yeah, and a term of endearment, when you look at one of the opposite sex, he says, oh, look at the pork on that. Look at the ham hocks on that.
Dave has just been waiting for today's show so badly for so long.
This is the best day of his life. Good on you, Dave. Love it. Look at the ham hocks.
Okay, what is that? What are the ham hocks?
I think the ham hocks are the calves, actually.
Right, okay. So it is actually like the hock. It's not a rhyming slang for, you know, lady boys in Thailand or something like that.
No, I don't think so.
Lucky. God, this show's got loose quick. Let's get to Marcus. Hello, Marcus.
Hi, gents. Welcome back on the tool.
It's good to be back. Right, Marcus.
Okay, I've got some rhyming slang. If you want a Ronnie Coot, you're after a root.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
I reckon we can do the math on that one, mate. It's Australia Day Eve, and one of the things that makes my life happy is when I sit down to watch the news, or in the morning when I open the computer and see some news of another man who's suffering, might be suffering through a scandal that's been exposed. You know, he's been having an affair on the side, and all the juicy details are coming out. And I think to myself, I'm glad I'm not that guy.
Yeah, it's
a great way to start the day.
Yep.
I'm glad I'm not that guy. Like, there might be, you know, other stories about men, you know, copping injuries to their Jets crackers, or bad, you know, stunts gone wrong. Men that stuff up so badly, doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing, saying the wrong name. I think we all know what we're talking about.
Yes.
That whole bracket of men doing crazy stuff, and you can say, I'm glad I'm not that guy. Well, I don't know whether you've heard of this man, Donald Trump.
Anyway, he's
been in the news a bit.
Yeah.
And he's made a heap of women really angry at him. Like,
saw that.
A lot marched. They were so angry at him. In fact, 3.3 million women in his country alone. Now, I hate it when I make one woman angry.
Oh.
But I'm so glad that I haven't made 3.3 million of them angry.
Can you
imagine?
No, I couldn't deal with it. Like, I could not deal with it. Like, if I upset any woman at all, like, that really does affect me. Like, it really would. And, I suppose...
How do you say
positive...
sorry to 3.3 million?
No, how do you hide from them? They'll find you.
And they'll hurt you.
But like, the only woman I'm probably likely to upset is, unfortunately, my wife. You know, we say and do dumb things, but you just go 3.3 million women that are angry with you at the one time, too much to deal with.
But what is the angriest that you've made that one woman? Like, how have you turned, you know, if she's marching around your house, you know that you're in trouble with a placard, I hate Merrick. Wearing one of those pink pussy cats with the ears.
Did you see it? Was I drunk and put that on Instagram? No wonder she was angry.
What do you reckon is the angriest you've made? What act of imbecility did you perform?
Oh, okay. Well, this wasn't a fight, but I think you're talking about like when you make your missus angry. You're not having a fight, but you just do something dumb or say something dumb.
Yes.
I reckon there was a time many, many years ago. My missus and I were at Marrickville Metro shopping centre there. We were just doing some shopping and we're on my motorbike and we parked up on the top floor, up on the roof there. And it was
good way to shop, by the way, on a motorbike. You know, you can't buy too much.
Yeah. And I think it was just before Christmas and it was really busy. And so I said, we'll go on the motorbike, we'll get in and get out, just, you know, backpack full of stuff and we'll get out. So anyway, we go to the Metro there and done all the shopping and we've had some sort of like very, very mild disagreement about something, and it was a stinking hot day, and because I'm a child, I cracked it and drove off on my motorbike and left her in Marrickville at the Metro there and just rode home and forgot about it completely. Liam, don't do that face. And I abandoned her, and when she got home, eventually it was like, I was probably February by that stage, she got home, she was the angriest woman I have ever confronted in my life outside of my mum.
Women really hate abandonment. I reckon it's safe to say. So,
couldn't put my finger on it, but you've just given it a term. Abandonment.
Yep. What act of complete stupidity or recklessness or just manly behaviour has caused your wife to become the angriest she's ever been?
Yeah, like when they've gone volcanic and it's just, it's not a fight, it's not an argument. You've just been a moron and they said something or done something and they've just gone, let's move this to volcano level.
Yeah. Yep. So we want to hear from you. Yep. 1-3-3-5-3-3
Do you guys want to try that again together?
Here we go. 1-3-3-5-3 Shut up, Liam. Give us a call now. Loz, we're talking about a little segment you've brought to the table saying, I'd hate to be that guy. Who would you hate to be right now?
Well, I'd hate to be Donald Trump because 3.3 million women just in the US alone are angry at him, and I freak out when more than one or two are.
More than one or two?
Yeah. Well, I got a lot of women angry at me on Twitter last year when I got involved in a Twitter spat and it became gendered in inverted commas and then you know, some women decided to hate down, and I don't want to be hated by the women. I want to be loved by the women.
Absolutely.
And it's scary, but we've been asking, what did you do to make the woman in your life angriest at you? You abandoned yours
at Marrickville Metro. It was a hot day and I left her there all on her own. She eventually made her way home and she was worse. Well, let's move on. It's got Dave. She was dehydrated and we had to put her on a drip. I got Dave in Windsor. Hello, Dave.
G'day. How are you, Merrick?
Good, mate. All right. What did you say or do? What was that instance where you've just set your missus and she's gone from DEFCON none to DEFCON Dave?
Well, about 10 years ago, I bought a parasail to tow behind our boat.
Right.
And for years I'd been threatening to use it. The kids wanted to use it. And we have never used it. And then she started at me about selling it, putting it on eBay because it was starting to annoy her and so on. So, and this went on for a while. And so one day I decided that, or my son decided he wanted to have a go. So we hooked it up behind my car.
Oh, Dave!
And I towed him around the paddock, parasailing, with my wife and my mother-in-law and her best friend there standing there watching us.
Has your son been found?
No, he was fine. We have it on video and she was not a happy camper for about a week.
They love it when you endanger the children. They just love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dave's also got a water slide that has no water and it's just made of dirt and he pushes his kids down that.
Dave, before we let you go, I'm going to put you under our other producer, Leon, because we need to see that video.
Yeah, yeah. Get us that video, Dave, so that we can pass it on to the authority. I mean, so that we can share it with all of our friends. You're going to go to jail. Thank you, Dave. As soon as you said parasail, I thought, that's probably enough. You know, you buy a parasail, your missus just goes, what are you doing?
Behind a car in a paddock.
Oh, what about the power lines, Dave? You know, the paddocks have power lines?
Yeah.
Oh. Just one thing to consider. Okay, let's move on to Keith. Hello, Keith in Camden.
Hello, Merrick.
How are you, mate? All right, what did you do to make your missus so volcanic?
I was drunk and we were having a little bit of an argument and I said, I'm going for a drive. She said, no, you're not. You're not driving drunk. She took the car keys off me. I went to grab them off her and she stabbed me in the head with them.
Oh. With the keys. Stabbed you in the head with the keys.
Mm. They were stuck into my head, right down the skin at the back, about 2 inches in. I looked like I had a man bun.
Oh, wow. Did she try and turn you over?
First of all, Keith, good on her for stabbing you in the head with keys for trying to drink drive.
That was a long time ago.
I understand.
I was very immature.
And Keith, just as a little bit of a jump off, just after 5, we're going to be talking to new Australians, people like yourself who have lived here for a while and still can't wrap their head around something that we do here in Australia that all of us are kind of taking for granted. It might be like Vegemite. It might be like putting sauce on pies. Is there something, Keith, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but is there something that, you know, even though you've been in Australia for years, as a new Australian, you still can't get your head around that we do?
It's more of what something you call. You call thongs. I can't get my head around that.
What do you call them?
Flip-flops.
Flip-flops.
Oh, because thongs in your country, Keith, are what?
Knickers.
Yeah.
That's like right. When you floss your ass.
Oh, okay, thanks. Thanks, Keith. Thanks for so filling G-string. In the gaps there. Unsure. If you're like Keith and there's something that you've noticed about Australia after living here for a long period of time and you still can't figure out why we do it, why we eat it, why we say it, well, whatever it is, you can give us a call just after 5. Loz, thanks very much for your time, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Pleasure.
104.9 Triple M. You're on Merrickville. You're not on it. You're in it. Oh, not in it. You're around it. You're listening to it. Great to have your company, Sydney. Got a legend, Kurt Fearnley, joining us this afternoon. Of course, tomorrow is Australia Day, a great day to celebrate what we've got in this country, what we've created as a nation and as a people, and how, as a nation, we've brought people in from all walks of life, from all around the world, and they've embraced Australian culture. But also, too, at the same time, have probably noted some oddities that we have in this nation, things that we now take for granted, things in, you know, the average Australian, we just go, oh, if you've always grown up here, if you've always been in Australia, you go, oh, that's right. I didn't even realise how weird it is to eat a black tar substance pretty much every day that just tastes like burnt salt.
I know.
But God, it's good burnt salt.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, of course, I'm talking about Nutella. oy, look at it.
And also there. When celebrities from overseas come into the country, they have to try it on a breakfast TV
yeah.
show.
And here's the thing. We always know that if we get a celebrity to try Vegemite, we always know that they're going to think it's shit. And it's like we keep repeating the same mistake. Like yeah. we go, no, this is the one where they're just going to go, oh, this has changed my life. I'm going to take this back to America. Yeah. And Meryl Streep will eat it. No, she won't. Not going to happen. I've got my producers, Liam and Leon, with me today because we're going to talk about some of the examples of people. And if you are, not a new Australian, but like you've come from another part of the world, you live here now, obviously you're an Australian, but you have noticed that there's something you just can't get past. There's something that we as a nation, we do, we eat, we say, we carry on about, whatever it is, gives a buzz, right? So a friend of mine, he's Scottish, and he was living here for about 3 or 4 years, and he asked another friend of mine, why do all Aussies have stubby holders? And he goes, oh, you know, for your beer. And he goes, but your hands don't get that cold. And he just goes, oh, is that what you think we're doing? And he goes, yeah, you're doing it to keep your hands from getting cold on the stubbies. And we went, oh, nah, that's not why we're doing it. He just thought Australians were so soft we didn't want our little hands to get cold. So we had like this little hand protector.
My mate, I had one on the weekend with an English mate of mine. We were heading out. He's been here for a while, and he's an Australian citizen now as well. And we hailed a cab, and my natural inclination, as I'm sure it is for you two, is to jump in the front seat.
Yeah.
No, I'm always the back, but yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Who do you think you are, Australian? You're right there, Lady Di. Oh,
bad reference.
But yeah, but he does not understand the inclination of Australians to naturally jump into the front seat of the car.
Mate,
with
a
cab
driver. I was a young bloke. I was backpacking and I went to New York and I went to go and jump in a cab and I was only a young bloke and I went to jump in the front seat and this bloke goes, whoa. And I went, what? You got a fence, and he goes, no, and just pointed to the back seat. This is a New York cab driver. Lucky he didn't blow my face off. I mean, seriously, it's not like they're not armed. Anyway, 133353, they're all armed, by the way, every one of them. 133353, give us a call now. If you've got an example, you know, you've got a different heritage, you're from a different part of the world, or maybe your partner is, and there's something that there is going on in this country that you just can't accept, you can't get your head around. Leon, you've got an example?
Scott. Oscar White on Twitter has just tweeted us at Merrickville FM. He's recently spent time with some Germans. They couldn't fathom the idea of insulting someone as a term of endearment. It's like, g'day, knackers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's true, though. Like, in other parts of the world, and particularly some of the language we use is a bit too colourful.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you don't even see in adult movies it's that colourful as language. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
It's coming from the Germans.
There you go.
Okay. 1-3-4-3. Whatever it is, give us a call. Tomorrow is Australia Day, a big day for all of us, and a big day, a great celebration for people who have come from all walks of life, from all around the world, to be a part of our Aussie, our idiosyncratic ways, the way that we kind of just are our own people. We've got our own way of doing things, but for other people from around the world, it can be a little bit odd. We forget how odd we are at times. And we're taking your calls. If you've come from another part of the world and you've got an example of something that you just go, look, I love Australia. You're a terrific joint. But I still don't understand why you need to put sauce on a perfectly good pie. I'll tell you why. Because pies are better with sauce. Only my brother. He's the only bloke I know who doesn't eat sauce with pies.
Are you sure he's Australian?
No. In fact, I'll tell you right now, I reckon my brother is a member of ISIS.
You should check the tag, yeah.
I think he could be. He's probably Al-Qaeda and is a, you know what he is? He's a sleeper cell, if anything. John in Pimble. Wow, I can't say that about my brother. He'll end up in jail and be like in Guantanamo. Anyway, hello, John in Pimble.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Whereabouts are you from originally?
New Zealand.
Oh, fantastic. All right, like my missus, you've now embraced Australia as your home?
I have indeed, and what a lovely place Sydney is.
Great. Oh, you've got the full accent and everything, bro.
Oh, good on you, mate.
Yeah. All right. Okay, what is it that you can't get your head around that we still do in Australia?
That you elect the most dullest and uninteresting people in the world and the most boring people in the world as your political leaders. They are so dull.
Yeah.
And you do it every election.
What have you got in New Zealand? I don't, you know, it's not exactly...
Oh, Australia's wanted John Keyes as their Prime Minister for years.
It's true. You know what?
There's been no one interesting since Bob Hawke.
Right, I'll get on the phone to Hugh Jackman. Everyone likes Hugh Jackman, universally loved, and a great entertainer.
He would be wonderful as Prime Minister and a lot more sensible as well.
What's your favourite thing about living in Australia, John? Being so close to New Zealand?
Living up in Pimble because it's lovely up here.
Oh, up in Pimble.
Could he have picked a better suburb for a Kiwi to move to?
Hey, mate, and all New Zealanders eat tomato sauce on their pie.
No, I know that too. Particularly Kiwis and... particularly the ones in Pimble.
In Pimble.
Not in Pimble. Legend. Good on you, mate.
You've got to be quiet.
Stephen, hello.
G'day, Merrick, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Have we got another Kiwi on the line?
Sure do.
Fantastic. All right, what is it about Australians that we've taken for granted that is a bit ridiculous?
Can you explain to me why you call a doona a doona?
Oh.
It's a bloody duvet, mate.
A what?
It's a duvet.
A duvet?
Yeah.
It's a doona.
No, it's a duvet. It's French.
Oh, look at you with the New Zealand Francais.
Bro.
So in New Zealand, you call the. I know that obviously you call thongs, you call them jandals.
Yep.
All right, we won't even go into why that happens. But you call a doona a duvet.
Yes, same as English.
Okay, are we the only place that calls it a doona? Are we, Liam?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, Stephen, I've been. Producer Leon gave me a heads up on this, done a bit of research. Basically, it comes from the word, the Nordic word dun, which means down feathers.
Right.
And it was. Patented by an old Australian company called Kimpton Feather Mills back in the early 70s. So the word was patented by the Aussie company, which is why we use it.
Bang. There's an answer for you, Stephen. I hope that's good. What do you love most about Australia, Stephen?
Great.
Ask a Kiwi what they love about Australia. It takes them half an hour to figure it out.
What suburb do you live in, Stephen?
Mount Annan.
Mount Annan. All right. I was hoping you were going to say Pombal. Would have been awesome if
you... No, live in Pombol.
Good on you, Stephen. All right, let's get to Paul. Hello, Paul.
G'day, how you going?
Yeah, really good, mate. You sound like you're definitely from another country.
Nah.
Called... You're not from Pombol.
No, but my wife's been here for 20 years,
yep.
and she always freaks out, like seriously freaks out when she sees people in a shop with no shirt and no shoes, because in New York, no shoes, no shirt, no service.
Oh, of course. It also means you're probably homeless. No, I mean, seriously.
Yep.
But in Australia, the rules of going down the shops, right, which is there is an entire bylaw set apart for this, is that the rule of going down the shops is so long as you've got your bits covered, everything else is fair game. True?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Mate, I'm not even joking. My old man once went into the newsagents in a pair of Speedos. I saw him go into the newsagent in a pair of Speedos. The weird thing is we hadn't been anywhere near the pool or a beach or anything. He just went, let's not go into details. Thanks, Paul. Lastly, Emma. Hello, Emma. Have we got it?
I think we just lost Emma.
Okay, all right. That's a shame.
I just got a text, though, from my mate who was confused about the taxi scenario. And he also
jumping in the front seat.
Yeah, and he also wants to know why all the towns around Australia feel the need to have a big tourist attraction. Just a big thing. Like we have the big ram and the big banana and the big sheep.
Yeah, because you know what? If you live in some parts of Australia and there's not a lot going on, you've got to try and make your own fun, don't you? Just go, what about a banana? Well, we don't really grow that many bananas. I grow bananas. Just do a banana or a prawn.
Merrickville, where Shannon Knoll is welcome at any club he likes. Triple M.
Great to have your company, Sydney. Tomorrow, of course, Australia Day. Everyone's excited about it. I am particularly. But if you're heading to the shops now to go and get the supplies for tomorrow, you got to go get your snags or your chops or whatever your meat of choice is. Or if you're eating tofu, fine. Don't ring us up and tell us about it. But you can do whatever you like. For a minute, just consider this. Now, I've got Liam and Leon, my producers, in the studio with me. And last year, I blew your minds with Chico rolls.
You did.
Neither of you had ever eaten a Chico roll in your life.
I haven't since, but I still liked it.
You loved it?
Yeah.
Old mate over there, Liam.
I was a little bit hungover that day as well, and it's gone to number one on my hangover cures list.
There you go.
Mate, you demolished it.
Yeah, I know.
It was a bit sad. It's like, you know, like when you give a homeless person something to eat. It's a bit like that. Okay, so Australia, if you're going out to get supplies for tomorrow, prepare to have your mind blown with this. Go, Leon.
Now, I think this might be a secret recipe from my dad, because I don't know many other people that do this, except one of my friends that mentioned it recently. What you need to do, get yourself a bag of frozen dim sims. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, you've already got me.
Yeah.
you had me a bag of dim sims.
Then you cook them, you steam them up as usual.
Steam them?
Yep.
Yep.
Then you slice them down the middle.
Right.
Like, you know, in half, long ways.
Okay, length.
And then you fire up your Barbie.
Yeah.
And you chuck them on and you get them all crispy in the middle. No joke, it gives it a whole new taste.
Because it's got the pork and the cabbage and stuff like that. So what it'll be doing is just frying that off a little bit like that. But there's no excess fat or anything like that, because it's just on the Barbie.
Yeah. It's an Aussie twist on an old classic.
How many times have you done this in your life? What sauce do you have? Oh, that's so confusing. Is it tomato sauce? Or can you go soy or a soy?
Nah, no, I don't
it's
think
tomato.
So.
It's sweet chili.
All right, let's not go crazy.
Oh, okay. All right.
Why don't we put some mayonnaise on it?
I want people to try this tomorrow for Australia Day. I want them to try the dim sim on the Barbie.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
We'll get a Barbie in on Friday maybe, and you guys can try it on the show.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
But I want people to do it, try it. Let us know on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Merrickville FM. Yep. Or maybe call us on Friday and let us know if you've tried it.
So get a bag of dirty dimmies and then you steam them up, slice them in half, then put them on the barbecue on the grill and then just, oh God.
Oh boy.
That's so good.
Yum.
What a great country. Paralympian, wheelchair athlete, ambassador, and all-round top Aussie bloke, Kurt Fearnley. Welcome back to the studios, mate. Great to have you here.
Mate, always good to drop by.
Tomorrow in Sydney, you've got the GIO Oz Day 10K wheelchair race in the Rocks. 10Ks, that's a tough run. What, like a kind of a wheelchair race, distance-wise, is that medium, short, or long distance?
Medium. For me, medium. The majority of my racing is done over 42K. I go down to about 1,500 on the track. But that 10K, it's an all-comers race for a road. So,
okay. Now, I'm very familiar with the Rocks. I don't know if you are. A lot of hills. What toolbox decided to have the race there? Why couldn't you just do it on a flat?
It's the only wheelchair race in the world where it's just wheelchairs and they shut down the main streets. And if you shut down the main streets of Sydney, you get in hills. Like when I was, so I grew up back in the bush when I saw this when I was about 13 years old. It was covered on ABC. My old man grabbed me, took me in, plonked me in front of the television, saw it for the first time, drove me down to Sydney the next year, watched it in live, watched these guys ripping down the hills. Up the hills looked like a bit of a struggle.
Yeah. It's not the downhill part I was talking about, Kurt.
The downhills, they were weapons. Yeah. And they're guys in chairs, and mate, I met everyone that year. We found out how much of a family we are. I'm now going for my 22nd start and going for my 11th win.
You're the defending champion. You won the race last year. You've pretty much dominated the race entirely since 2005. You've won it 10 times. Is this a race or is it just a lap of honour? Because it just feels like, is it just Kurt's day? Is it GIO just got Kurt's day and they go, oh, there's some other people arrived.
No, oh, gee, I wish, mate. I've been in a pretty good paddock for the last three months or since New York finished. And the downhills, I'm a downhill specialist at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm carrying a few extra kilos.
Yeah.
There's 14 guys out here from Japan. They've towed me up all week on the track. I haven't got a win up yet.
Mate, you've got the race starts at 9 a.m. The start and the finish line are, of course, on George Street around Circular Quay there. But of course, with the current roadworks on George Street, you've got to go via Punch Bowl and Dural. So it's actually a 94-kilometer event tomorrow.
Yeah, mate, I am the light rail. So
anyone
wants to lift along George Street tomorrow, they can catch me. 9 o'clock, I'll drop you the other side of Hinkson Road.
There you go. Faster, cheaper, more reliable.
Exactly.
But what do you do in preparation for, you know, tomorrow? Is there a race plan other than just rolling up and winning, which has been your current plan for 10 years?
For me, I back myself. You just try and calm down today. You try not to think too much. On the morning, year after year, the crowd on the side of the road is bigger and the crowd know my name. And you know, that sort of stuff. I just know that when I'm on the start line, there's going to be a lot of people around. They're going to be yelling out for us and I'll turn up. And
so are you suggesting, Kurt, that Australians don't tend to know all 10 Japanese athletes that have come over to compete for this event and they don't go, go Yashika tomorrow?
Yeah. Hiroki Tatsuhara and Kota Hokanui are pretty upset on the start line of that race.
Because they get there and there's just like everybody's just for Kurt and they're just going, this really is a lap of honour. We come from Japan for a lap of honour.
Look, you take everything you can get to get an inch on those fellas.
Australia Day, obviously very special to every Australian. What do you do after a race? How do you celebrate it? What do you do with your family?
Has someone bloody G'd you up? They've told you.
No?
Oh, mate, the finish line is practically straight into the pub.
Is it? They open the doors.
Mate, the finish line goes directly in. They cone off from the finish line on George Street straight into the pub, and I'll see you there about 10 o'clock.
So get in there early.
At night.
Okay.
Mate, it's a stay up.
Okay, question. Technically, you're responsible and in charge of a vehicle. If you have too many, can you be charged with drink driving?
Believe it or not, yes.
No way!
So you can. Well, you're just done for drunk and disorderly.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to jump on a bike. And it depends. Are you going down the footpath? Or are you kicking on the road?
No, you're on the road. Let's say you're out on the road. You're just crossing the road, though.
Okay.
But you are technically on a road.
Are you Olympic level drunk or are you rugby league level drunk?
I don't know which is worse. Where's that? Liam and I are trying to figure out. Hang on a second. They're two pretty high scales.
Well, one is probably a greater amount over a longer period of time. The Olympics, they're getting in there and having a go at the Olympics, but they're not quite the rugby league level. Wheelchair racing has actually changed a lot. And I jest a little bit. It used to literally be you'd travel around, like back in the 90s, I remember seeing wheelchair racing would finish in the pub and they'd stay there all day. And those guys were soldiers in the pub. Nowadays, it is toned down so much. It's,
yeah.
You know, like the professionalism that came into the sport in general just it ruined the party, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. It's a thing, you know, for spectators of all sports, the levels have increased, the professionalism has increased, but, you know, some of the character is lost because now everybody's taking it bloody seriously.
Mate, there was a guy that used to just travel around. He used to smash himself in the race. He used to smash himself in the pub after. He was one of the – his name was Kenny Carnes. He was one of the most –
Kenny Carnes. He was never not going to do that.
I was 17 years old at Oz Day, and I said he's not allowed. He was drafting me the whole way. He was about 48 in the Masters, not in my category. And I said, Kenny, you can't draft me. I'm a junior. And he goes, shut up, keep pushing. I'm effing Santa Claus. Who gives a? And it was, you know, like it had these real solid, crazy characters.
Yes.
But my sport has turned into an absolute, it's a vacuum nowadays. But I do enjoy tomorrow. My entire family are down. The bush comes to the city.
Yep.
Wheelchairs own the rocks for
it's great.
It's amazing. So I do usually take a moment and have a bit of a beer and a yarn with as many people as I can.
Kurt, stick around because I want to ask you about a fellow Novocastrian, Jared Mullen, who's in a bit of trouble at the moment. Paralympian, wheelchair athlete, all-round top Aussie bloke, Kurt Fearnley. Tomorrow you can see him as part of the GIO Oz Day 10K wheelchair race around the rocks. If you're down there, you're like, go, Kurt! He'll be the only person you recognise. All the rest are from Japan and they don't stand a chance of winning. Mate, you are a Newcastle boy. And there's a little bit of controversy at the moment with Jared Mullen from Newcastle Knights. He's been testing positive to anabolic steroids. And I want to know, like, he's been provisionally suspended from the NRL. In your field of sport, in wheelchair racing, is steroids and drug cheating, is it a thing? Is it something that you guys, I mean, I'm sure there's testing, but is it a thing?
Mate, the entire Russian Paralympic Committee were banned from participating in Rio. Mm. There was indicators that their samples had been either seen to be positive or manipulated. To be sure that they can't be retested.
Yep.
I have seen from my particular event, seen two athletes be tested positive, one for steroids, another for EPO in the last 2 years. When we're talking about people who are the most marginalised all around the world, and there is a chance, not for millions of dollars, but for dollars. Like there is a way for somebody to allow their family to live better.
Yeah.
Then
provide. It's about providing.
100%. It is. And when you're coming from a place where it's either life or not life,
yep.
risk get taken. And then
yeah.
I know the guys that have tested positive in my sport. I grew up with them. I know their families. And, mate, it's sad. Mullo's.
So people with disabilities who are competitive sports people, Kurt, is it kind of a lower act, or is it just the same as any other sport? You know, it's just as low. It's just as a dog act. But is there a sense that maybe it's a bit more of a dog act because of that? Because of the fact that, you know, you guys don't have millions of dollars worth of sponsorship. You have to work really, really hard just to be able to compete.
Yeah, no, it's all, you know, an arsehole in a wheelchair is an arsehole walking around. You know, it's all, I'm an equal playing field type of guy. And, and like these guys, that they're not that. I know them, and I've known them for a couple of decades, and they're lovely bloody guys.
So it's not about greed, is it? It's not about trying to, you know, secure million-dollar contracts. Or, you know, with some drug cheats, you see it can be to stay in a competition, which will earn them, you know, a large amount of money, or to get to a level where they will become multi-millionaires. You're talking about guys who are just doing it because they just want to make a living.
They want to make a living. Or you know what? Some of it comes down to there are some pretty heavy mental health issues as well in some of these guys, and they are coming back from an injury. They're struggling to see the light out of a pretty dark place. Yep. And then they go to make a choice, and that choice is swayed by that position that they're in right now, and they can't see the light. They can't see that there's going to be a way to get back on the field. They can't see that they're going to make $20,000 for the year to pay their mortgage off. And then they see this thing in the corner, and they would, I'm sure that they would bloody wrestle with that for however long. And then they make that choice without making it on a clear mind, without making it on a healthy outlook. Like there are some guys where it is a culmination of just unhealthy places. How can you hate that bloke? When you see yourself as an athlete, and I'm not
which I do, I'm unfortunately. It's actually a massive problem in my life.
You have judged yourself up against your competitors. You've judged yourself as your performance on the field. You are, a lot of people see themselves as just that. When that starts falling apart,
yep,
so does your self-image, identity, your self-worth, your identity.
Yeah, yeah.
And you make some pretty bloody unhealthy choices. And
I reckon I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, man. Mate, it's a really tough spot, and we've got to be a bit gentle with how we talk about this sort of stuff as well. They're not villains.
No.
They're just people who find themselves in a bloody spot and make a pretty tight choice, and no, they've made that choice, and there's no coming back. They don't get back on the sport field. That's just what it is, but we don't need to drag him through bloody hell as well.
Kurt Fearnley, always a pleasure to have you in the studios, mate. Tomorrow you will be racing in the Oz Day 10K wheelchair event at the Rocks for GIO. Mate, thank you very much for coming in and have a chat, and best of luck for tomorrow, and hopefully you won't be arrested for being drunk at 10 p.m. tomorrow night.
Never.
See how we go.
Never.
Thank you for visiting Merrickville. If you missed anything during your stay, subscribe to the Merrickville podcast on iTunes or with your favourite Android app, Triple M.